Sound check, 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 check. Sound check, 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 check. Sound check.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Sometimes music is more than just a catchy tune or a momentary diversion. Sometimes music can move a whole country. For hundreds of thousands of Egyptians during the so-called Arab Spring, this song served as an anthem.
Definitely, I've become more outspoken in what I say. You know, I can't say the word Mubarak, for example. Now I can say the word Morsi, who was our president. Basically, I can criticize him freely. So that's something that we never had before the revolution. So hip hop is actually promotes that and makes you very proud of where you're coming from.
That's the Egyptian rapper known as Deeb, and this song, which I've seen translated as Stand Up Egypt or Stand Up Egyptian, was sung by the throngs in Tahrir Square during the overthrow of the Mubarak regime there. Today, Deeb joins us, along with the Malian rapper Amkulel, whose own West African brand of hip-hop has deep roots in traditional folk music and a strong political message as well. So it seems like everyone's rapping these days. Well, almost everyone.
I've been on the top ever since I've been in it. I got rap songs that will never die. And that ain't with no disrespect, but tired of rapping. I want to do a record, a whole record, no rapping.
That's a scene from Reincarnated, a new documentary that aims to explain how the rapper Snoop Dogg became the non-rapper Snoop Lion. As it turns out, that transformation was about more than just a name change. The writer Jamie Lowe says the film Reincarnated is Snoop Dogg's Eat, Pray, Love moment, referring to the 2006 bestseller about one woman's soul-searching travels after a divorce. Jamie wrote about Snoop Dogg's transition to Snoop Lion for Esquire magazine and joins me on the line. Hi, Jamie.
Hello.
So the Eat, Pray, Love thing, is it, you know, triggered as that book was by a traumatic event?
It seems that it was. I mean, the documentary basically sets it up as that he needs sort of a transition, or he's looking for something or seeking some type of meaning in another, you know, variation on what he's doing and in life. I think it's also coming from having such a traumatic event with Nate Dogg passing away.
This was one of his earliest collaborators, longtime friend.
Right. And there are portions of the movie that are really moving and impactful in sort of seeing Snoop Dogg's reaction at the funeral and this sort of need for a different kind of life or a different quality of life.
So is he actually going in search of spiritual guidance, or does he just think, hey, let's go to Jamaica and see what happens, and what happens is not what he expects?
I think it's a little bit of both, and I actually think that he goes to Jamaica and he gets a little bit of what he expects. I think that he's going to make a new kind of record, and he's sort of going to embrace this new spirituality and Rastafari. And I think that for the most part, he seems really sort of open to it, and he almost has like a sponge-like quality in terms of absorbing what's around him and trying to kind of listen and look. He's like the calmest presence of a celebrity that I can think of.
And how did the Jamaicans react to him?
I mean, crazy love. Like, there was sort of a frenzy surrounding him at all times, which makes kind of the spiritual journey, especially if you're documenting it, a little bit impossible.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, how convincing is this as a document of one man's spiritual search? I mean, he made the film, right?
Right. Well, it's Vice made it, and he was part of the production. It was sort of a collaboration, I think, between the two of them. But It's, I think anytime you choose to document something before it happens as a sort of very impactful or important moment, it's definitely questionable.
Yeah. We're speaking with Jamie Lowe, the writer, author of the biography Digging for Dirt about the rapper ODB. You can find a link to her story for Esquire about this transition of Snoop Dogg to Snoop Lion on our website, soundcheck.org. The film is called Reincarnated. It premiered at the South by Southwest Festival last week and is now showing here in New York and in select cities. Now, there is, Jamie, an album coming out next month, also called Reincarnated, produced by Major Lazer and Diplo. There's a book. There's a gardening initiative. I mean, it's like a whole, and I guess we won't ask what is growing in that garden. But the album is definitely...
I think you can ask and you'll get the answer.
I guess we would. But the album definitely skews very heavily towards reggae, doesn't it?
I think it's 100% reggae. I haven't heard all of it, but my impression is that he's taken on this completely different new genre and that's part of what this transition is. And a lot of the sort of spiritual quest, I think a lot of it is actually just challenging himself artistically and trying to do something that's, you know, not what's expected of him,
yeah,
or that he even knows that he can do, but trying to kind of take on something else.
Well, in this song, Snoop Lion is working with Angela Hunt, who wrote Empire State of Mind for Jay-Z and Alicia Keys, here working with Snoop Lion on a song called Here Comes the King.
Here I come a-steppin' in the dawn. Here I come a-steppin' in the dawn. Posted up the wall here in Amistad. Posted up the wall here in Amistad. We never fail, we only shine with brilliance. One king, one faith, one religion. And if you hear me, come and join the revolution. One king, one faith, one religion. And if you hear me, come and join the revolution.
We are going with the army of haters, and when we kill them, we just smoke them like papers. Somebody get me my crown, cause I'm feeling it now. It might be Lord, but here comes the king. You might be a Lord, but here comes the king.
That is Snoop Lion, formerly Snoop Dogg, and formerly before that, Snoop Doggy Dogg, and Here Comes the King will be off the new record Reincarnated when it comes out next month. And the film Reincarnated is running here in New York and in select cities. Jamie Lowe on the line with us. I got to ask you, Jamie, I mean, Lion? Snoop Lion? I mean, isn't that a little presumptuous? I mean, the Lion of Judah is a central figure in Rastafari.
I think that when you're a rapper and when you're sort of a performer and you take on a persona, you want to do it all. And so you want to be as big as you can. And I don't think that Snoop's ever shied from that.
Yeah. Bunny Wailer's in the film briefly, right?
He's actually in it for a good portion.
Uh-huh. And he is not happy with the way Snoop Lion has been conducting himself since the shooting of the film Wrapped. But anyway, what do you think of the movie? Is this something you would recommend?
I would. I think that it's not completely, you know, a pure sort of Rastafari look at spirituality and taking on something for an only a religious reason. I think it also has a lot to do with the music. It has a lot to do with the culture. It has a lot to do with Snoop. I mean, it's all about him. And there are parts where you actually see a very different side of him. And then there are parts that feel very calculated. But I think that you get a sense of him as a person that is, I mean, you mentioned all of the projects that he was involved in before, and he has to be the most productive stoner alive. Like, he's involved in so many different things I don't see this as actually that wild or outlandish. Mm-hmm. It seems like a natural progression of all of the other things he's been doing.
All right, the film is called Reincarnated, from the former Snoop Dogg, now Snoop Lion. Jamie Lowe's article for Esquire about the transition from dog to lion is on our website, soundcheck.org. Jamie, nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk with you, too.
When you a man, action is what's expected. Nothing is spoken or produced. It never got time for no excuses. You gotta go beyond my flow. It's time fooling.
If you're a hip-hop fan, Soundcheck wants you to join us for our next event in the Green Space. Join us for a conversation with rapper Talib Kweli. He'll perform songs off his upcoming album, Prisoner of Conscience, before it comes out. It's a Soundcheck taping with Talib Kweli Wednesday, April 24 at 8 p.m. in the Green Space. Get your tickets at wnyc.org/thegreenspace. Hip-hop fueled the Arab Spring. We'll hear from some artists involved. And later, dusty pop hits transformed into fascinating ambient music. And another installment in our series, That Was a Hit? This one features Prince. Not very good Prince either. This is Soundcheck.
رئيس البلاد هاني اليوم نحكي معاك باسمي واسم الشعب الكل اللي عايش في الاحلام 2011 مازال فما شكون يموت بالجوع حاب يخدم باش يعيش لكن صوته مش مسموع اهبط للشارع وشوف.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The story of the Arab Spring is the story of a modern revolution. The world watched as protesters used social media like Twitter to help bring down autocratic governments in Tunisia, Egypt, and Libya. But there was another driving force that hasn't gotten as much attention, hip-hop. And it began with this song by the Tunisian rapper known as El General. This song from December 2010 was a stinging indictment of the Tunisian government and landed him in jail. And as the Arab Spring echoed throughout the Near East and North Africa, rappers led the way in Egypt, Tunisia, even in Mali, where the northern part of the country fell under Islamist rule last year. Two of those leading rappers are with us today. Deeb from Egypt, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you.
And Amkulel from Mali, glad to have you here as well.
Thank you.
Deeb, you were in the Tahrir Square where all the big protests were from the very beginning. When did you start hearing your songs, especially Stand Up Egypt, being used as part of that movement?
I mean, first and foremost, I'm a rapper. I never joined the protest before. I just found myself joining the mass protests. It made sense for me to be there, you know, since I'm talking about it in my music. So I joined and I performed there. And this is when the people were chanting it. And, you know, a lot of them haven't heard about hip hop before. Mm. So it was very interesting to see the crowd, you know, react with you and sing with you. Even in the square, when we meet up with people like, you know, from an older generation, for example, like my father's generation or my grandfather's generation, they'd like, you know, tell us, listen, you've done something that we've never thought of doing, you know, because they were living under fear, because they hadn't have access to internet. So yes, it did help, of course. And you know, Egypt has 50% youth. It's a big percentage, and that's what came up on the streets.
Yeah. Now, Amkulel, your story happens much later, after the Arab Spring. You know, a lot of North Africa, the dominoes are falling, and eventually there's a coup in Mali, and the northern part of the country is overrun by these Islamist groups. Now, our listeners have heard your song SOS before.
Okay.
We did a show about that January 29th. Soundcheck listeners, you can check our audio archive of that day. And so your song was, again, a kind of a rallying cry for people to, well, tell the story. What was the idea behind the song?
SOS was like a scream about the way people was feeling in Mali. We had the feeling to be abandoned by the politics, education, and a lot of other things. And you could feel in the air that something will happen if we don't move or make things change. So in 2011, 8 months before the putsch, the coup d'état, I wrote the song SOS. So they refused to broadcast it,
right,
on TV.
Right, it was banned.
Yeah, banned, exactly.
And then in the north of Mali, when the Islamists took over, they banned all music.
Yeah, they banned everything. Yeah,
all you music. Were getting it from both sides.
Exactly, exactly.
We're speaking with Amkulel from Mali and Deeb from Egypt. They are two of the leading rappers in the burgeoning field of hip-hop in North Africa and the Near East. Amkulel, you have roots, obviously. I mean, both of you guys have roots in a part of the world that has long, rich musical traditions, and you have to if you like rap and hip hop, that's one thing, but you don't want to completely cut yourself off from that tradition either, right?
Yeah, it's very important because we, even if we are inspired by the hip hop coming from the United States, Grandmaster Flash, Afrika Bambaataa, and
That's old hip hop.
Yeah, that is the beginning of hip hop. Yeah. So we are of this generation, the first generation of rappers in our countries. So, but we have to create our own identity. It's the reason why we talk about our reality, our truth. And we also try to put our traditional instrument. It's what I do with Mandin style music. Mm-hmm. And I create a kind of Afro-pop, but hip-hop inspiration. And that is our...
And that is why Yakuba Sisoko is here with you today.
Exactly, Yakuba Sisoko coming from a great, great family of Djeli. Mm-hmm. Mali.
Jalis or griots, as they're known as well.
Exactly.
So these are the traditional families of musicians.
Exactly.
And so Yakuba is going to play the traditional lute, which is known as Ngoni.
Ngoni,
and one of the little talking drums.
Talking drum, we call it Tama.
And then you're going to rap.
Yes.
All right. So these are the two songs here, a little bit of Farafina.
Farafina, Africa.
Which means Africa. And then Kalan.
Kalan means education, school.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's hear a live performance here in the Soundcheck studio. I'm Kulel, the Malian songwriter and rapper, with Yakuba Sisoko playing on the Ngoni and the talking drum live on Soundcheck.
Wiki talama joni na Farafina bara wati sera Wili kabo nogola Tamaiko sunjata Yere mahoronga wati sera Farafina bara wati sera Farafina wili kabo nogola Farafina tamaiko sunjata Yere mahoronga wati sera Farafina bara wati sera Farafina wili kabo nogola Farafina tamai kusunjata Yere mahornya wati sera Kubika munde ke, kubika munde fonga jamana Kubika munde ke munde fo jamana jima koka Kubika munde ke, kubika munde fo Dunga namana na kankura be fo telela Kubika munde ke, kubika munde fonga jamana Kubika munde ke munde fo jamana jima ko Kubika munde ke, kubika munde fo Dunga namana na kankura be fo telela Bara wati sera Wati sera Bara wati sera Yere mahornya Wati sera bara Fo jamana din kakala Jamana din kakala Jamana din kakala Yo Depuis 90, l'école malienne glisse dans la crise. Les solutions proposées frisent le ridicule des élèves et des étudiants que nul ne calcule. Voilà venir l'heure du pécule. Secteur privé, oui, développé. Éducation nationale, oublié. Un pauvre n'a pas besoin d'instruction. Juste appliquer les instructions, oui. Faut jamana d'un kakala. Jamana d'un kakala. Jamana d'un kakala. Kalam balya tibi chukuba Fo jamana diun kakala Jamana diun kakala Jamana diun kakala Kalam balya Mokoba sababi sabani sabatone mbe nyogonka Washijini kasa vinyamina nyogona kongo minogoni Segembe karamogola jamana diun mekala chogodi okanka Halsa jamana bekamunuma Kalam balya tibi Dibi chukuba, munu munu mbeka chaya dibila Wajamana nye mautununa Ihakele kala, bara, dofari kadoni yaka Inobeta foli lahara Mashite seko boshila, abada Kalan keyoro, anijago keyoro Kudu unyoko kono, madiliko ye folondo Gomana jinebo, kulunde bonyana bo Demusobi yere di, fufala kikunoti Fo jamana diun kakala Jamana diun kakala Jamana diun kakala Kalambalia, tibi chukuba Fo jamana diun kakala
Lovely. That is Amkulel, the rapper and songwriter from Mali, with Yakuba Sisoko performing on the traditional lute, the Ngoni, and talking drum, and Amkulel rapping two songs, excerpts sort of mashed together there, Farafina, which means Africa, Kalan, education. You're rapping mostly in Bamana, a little bit of French.
Yeah, exactly, and a little bit in English on my last album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amkulel is with me, so is Deeb, the MC and rapper from Egypt. Early days of the Tahrir Square movement in Egypt, you could hear his song Stand Up Egypt as again, a kind of a focal point for a lot of the protesters there, Deeb. Now, Amkulel was mentioning, you know, some of the first wave of hip-hop artists here in the States, Grandmaster Flash and Afrika Bambaataa. What about for you? Who did you listen to growing up?
I think Nas was a big brother to me, to a lot of hip-hop artists. You know, he was like the guy who was telling you, beware of this and beware of that, because, you know, he's ahead of you. And he's very poetic and very, you know, in the way he writes, mm-hmm. he has a lot of imagery. And that's what drew me, because, you know, I'm an Arab. Arab love poetry. We love, you know, the choice of words and the metaphors. And Nas was very good at that. And then I think I got into the whole Mos Def and Talib Kweli phase.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, more East Coast than West Coast. You know? I'm not being biased just because I'm on WNYC or L, but I think I just like, you know, like the East Coast hip hop, and that's what drew me when I was young.
And you know what we call conscious or socially conscious hip hop. You know, with Talib Kweli and Mos Def, either separately or together. Yeah,
of course. But Common's not from the East Coast.
No,
it's Chicago. You know, but
now you know. As a language, yes, the Arab people love poetry, but the sound of the language, to me, seems to fit the rhythms of hip hop really well. Did you find that when you started doing your own raps?
In the beginning, it was very difficult because, you know, I never tried to write in Arabic. But then, just like you said, it comes very easy. Arabic is very poetic the way it sounds anyways. So it was very easy for me to, you know, rap in Arabic.
Yeah. So what are you about to do for us? What is this song called?
Masrah Deeb, which means deep stage. Basically, I'm explaining everything I see on the streets, you know, the struggles that people face from my perspective, and that's basically my stage.
All right, this is Deeb from Egypt, solo with his beats live on Soundcheck.
Let's go. Shout out to BB King. Thriller's gone. Revolution goes on though. Yeah. في البداية كنت واخد المزيكا انها هواية لحد ما اكتشفت الموهبة جوايا كلامي مراية لأحداث عشتها بدأت على قدي من وقتها وانا بعلى في المستوى فن الطبخ عايز وقت واسلوبي استوى هم والضغط والفقر الشعبي عايز دوا كله في الهوا سوا بس الهوا مش هوانا لو حليم كان عايش مش هيكون في روتانا فتح عينك اوعى تغمضها ولا انت فرح تتفرج على فيلم عرض اول مرة انا مش ديكتاتور ديب دكتور في قسم البيت تخصص فولكلور شيكي ديكور بتاع المسرحية الكوميدية زكية زكريا والعصابة مفترية سية سية واسية أغنية عصرية زي منير مصرية مية مية وقتي بضحي شعبي بصحي ميكروفون صاحبي بيقدر صراحتي معاه بكون على راحتي الحياة نكتة أهلا بيك في مسرح دي وقتي بضحي شعبي بصحي ميكروفون صاحبي بيقدر صراحتي معاه بكون على راحتي الحياة نكتة أهلا بيك في مسرح إحساس جميل الكلام يطلع من الضلمة للنور ساعات معرفش أنام أفكار جوه دماغي تدور هتنط فوق السور أسأل نفسي إرهاق ذهني خلى دماغي تفور زي البيبسي نفسي في إيه هقولك كمان نانا اسمي إيه ديب نقولها كمان مرة في ناس زي مدحت شلبي من برا برا هلا هلا ومن جوه يعلم الله رسالتي اللي بفصلها هوصلها لناس طال انتظارها مستنية الفرحة لحظة في ناس حافظة مش فاهمة, ناس رافضة ومعارضة من غير لازمة, ناس حاسين بالأزمة تعبانين حابسين دم الملايين زي التعبين. مستعد أغني مع شعبان عبد الرحيم, أعمل أغنية اسمها أنا بكره الظالمين. وقتي بضحي شعبي بصحي, ميكروفون صاحبي بيقدر صراحتي, معاه بكون على راحتي, الحياة نكتة أهلا بيك في مسرحتي. وقتي بضحي شعبي بصحي, ميكروفون صاحبي بيقدر صراحتي, معاه بكون على راحتي, الحياة نكتة أهلا بيك في مسرحتي.
That is Deeb with a song called Masrach Deeb. Deeb Stage would be the translation. That's the Egyptian rapper here in our soundcheck studio performing live with Amkulel here as well, the rapper from Mali. We're talking about the role of hip-hop in the Near East and North Africa these days. And you mentioned, Deeb, that you wrote that song before the protests. Has your writing, have your songs changed since then?
Definitely. I've become more, you know, outspoken in what I say. Before, I used to, like, try to sugarcoat what I say. You know, I can't say the word Mubarak, for example. Now I can say the word Morsi, which is who was our president, basically. I can criticize him freely. So that's something that we never had before the revolution. We had fear of being persecuted and caught by the cops, basically.
And for you, Amkulel? When you first started listening to hip-hop, I mean, you must have grown up with it, both of you, because it's been a global phenomenon for many years now. But in Africa especially, there's something that kind of ties into maybe the griot tradition, the idea of the singer as a storyteller.
Yeah, I think, it's very linked, because in 2010 I was in UCLA and other universities to talk about the African roots of hip-hop, even here in the United States. For us, coming here in New York is like coming to the origin of hip-hop.
Right.
But when you try to find the origin, the oldest origin of hip-hop and the oral tradition, you go back again to Africa and other countries where the oral tradition is very, very important. The griot, the memory, and the MC, the master of all the traditional ceremonies.
I think to add to what Amkulel is saying, you know, hip-hop allows you to represent where you're from, you know, that word repping the hood or something, you know. Yeah, we're repping where we're coming from too,
exactly.
You know, and we're using, you know, culture references and national figures and pop culture. So hip-hop is actually promotes that and makes you very proud of where you're coming from.
All right, now you're from very different parts of Africa, Egypt and Mali. You speak different languages. But apparently in the taxi cab on the way over, you found a little common ground. You're going to do a little freestyling for us here today?
I mean, it's like, some bars I used to write. I started writing in English. So since we're addressing English audience, you know, as speakers, so let's just do some English stuff.
Yeah, I will try to rap in English too, but my English, I'm sorry, I tell sorry to everybody, but
well,
I will try.
Well, if you end up lapsing into French or Abamana or some other language, we'll forgive you, but you want to give this, so this is just freestyling.
Freestyle over DJ Premier, you know?
Yes.
One of the most infamous DJs that came out of hip-hop.
From Gangstar.
From Gangstar, from New York. So let's do this.
All right.
Big up to New York.
Amkulel from Mali, Deeb from Egypt. Here they are doing a bit of freestyling live on Soundcheck. Due to rights issues, we are unable to podcast this performance from today's show, but the good news, you can stream the entire performance and interview at soundcheck.org.
Hip-hop International.
Well, that was awesome. Amkulel, the rapper from Mali, Deeb, the rapper from Cairo, Egypt, Yakuba Sisoko playing the talking drum, and a little bit of freestyling in a couple of languages. That was amazing. It's like you guys had that planned. That was terrific.
In the taxi. We just got in the taxi last minute.
All right, so I need to thank you both for being here. Shouting out to WNYC in the middle of that was great, too. Guys, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us and performing for us today.
Thanks a lot.
This is Soundcheck. Up next, journalist Tamara Palmer explains the YouTube phenomenon of time-stretching music. You've never heard Justin Bieber like this, that's all I'm going to say. And later, an unlikely chart success from Prince in our series, That Was a Hit? This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. This is a recording of I Feel Love by Donna Summer. What, you don't recognize the voice? That's because it's been slowed down a lot with a tool called time stretching. This musical meme has been gaining popularity over the last couple of years. It's kind of a remix, turning a 3-minute pop song into something that might be half an hour long and a kind of ambient soundscape. But time stretching hasn't just come out of nowhere. We'll get a look at the past, present, and future of time stretching with Tamara Palmer, journalist and author of Country Fried Soul, Adventures in Dirty South Hip Hop. Tamara, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again.
So what is this time stretching thing?
Well, time stretching is simply lengthening a track without altering the pitch.
Not so simple.
Right.
I mean, you know,
complex algorithms.
In the old days, you know, with lots of people slowed things down, but then you ended up sounding like Darth Vader. So, you know, this is a digital phenomenon. Why is it suddenly everywhere on YouTube?
Well, in the last almost 3 years, there's been a software program called Paul Stretch, which will allow you to time stretch any song. Before that, people were using the technique to smaller effects. Mm-hmm. You know, British producers of drum and bass like Goldie and Ronnie Size were using time stretching as effects to, you know, heighten the tension in their breaks. So when the break came in, you know, you'd have a bigger sound.
Mm-hmm.
Goldie actually is kind of credited for beginning the use of time stretching in jungle and drum and bass. He put out a song in 1992 called Terminator, which took dialogue from the Arnold Schwarzenegger film.
Terminator is out there.
So this trend of time stretching with Goldie, with Terminator, goes back over 20 years. I mean, it's a 1992 song.
Right.
So it's been kicking around, but it seems to have gotten a real boost in 2002 from, of all places, the classical music world.
Yes, there was a producer from Norway called Leif Inge who created a work called Nine Beat Stretch, which is Beethoven's Ninth Symphony stretched out over 24 hours. And there's
wow.
actually an iTunes station that constantly streams 24-hour loops of Nine Beat Stretch.
So you can tune in any time, day or night, and you will hear some part of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony.
Exactly. I mean, if you have the patience to go through the whole thing.
So let's hear a little bit of Leif Inge, this Norwegian producer, and his 2002 recording called Nine Beat Stretch. That is just one moment out of a day-long piece by Norway's Leif Inge from 2002, Nine Beat Stretch. is Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, expanded to 24 hours in length without changing the pitch. Tamara Palmer, the journalist, author of Country Fried Soul, Adventures in Dirty South Hip Hop, with me in the studio, and we're talking about time stretching as a musical phenomenon. When you stretch those strings from the orchestra, you know, the violins, the cellos, stretch them out that much, you hear all the overtones kind of ringing and almost chiming in midair. It's really quite beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, talk about being able to dive deeply into a work in a new way.
So this piece that we just heard is what inspired this Romanian guy to come up with a tool to allow people to do this.
It's a software called PaulStretch, and it was Paul Nasco is the name of the software developer. And he explained that he heard 9-beat stretch, and he was inspired to try some stretching on his own. And it wasn't something that he was going to release to the public, but he stumbled upon the right algorithm and thought he shouldn't keep it to himself.
Mm. So this is like up there on the internet somewhere and people can just download it and use it?
Exactly, yeah.
Wow. Well, let's hear what Justin Bieber sounds like, slowed down 800%. Bit of Justin Bieber's voice there. I mean, it's still Justin Bieber's voice. It hasn't been slowed down. It's simply been stretched out by the producer Shamantis in a piece called You Smile 800% Slower. So, Tamara, you've written about all this, and you've written specifically about a British producer named Telegenic X. What do you like about his work?
Well, I love his song selection. He's chosen a really interesting, diverse group of songs from the 70s and 80s. You know, Heroes by David Bowie and the I Feel Love segment that we were listening to earlier.
Right, the Donna Summer, yeah.
And, this isn't a new technique, but I think Telegenic X is going to be the one to bring it to the next level of attention.
Well, he's got a whole YouTube channel devoted to his time-stretched version of various songs, and Telegenic X, a.k.a. Gavin Morrow, is on the line with us from Nottingham, England. Gavin, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hey, hi there. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. What is the point of taking a 4-minute song and stretching it to over half an hour in length?
Well, it's for fun, really, more than anything. I mean, the whole project came about as an offshoot or a side project of an ambient music project I do called Grey Frequency. And I was experimenting with the PaulStretch software, which a friend recommended to me. And I tried it out on a track by my wife's band, and I was pretty thrilled with the results. And it went from there, really.
Now, it is, you use the word ambient. I mean, when you slow something down that much, I mean, we've already heard Donna Summer and Beethoven, and you know, they're occupying the same kind of musical world when you slow them down. What happens, for example, to drums when you slow down a Donna Summer song or a Blondie song to the degree that you do?
They sort of warp sort of out of recognition, really. They sort of become like waves of sound rather than, you know, a kick drum isn't that piercing. It just becomes a long, drawn-out sort of smudge of a sound.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things that struck me, you know, going through your YouTube channel is, for example, Blondie's Heart of Glass, you know, the sort of chugging rhythm becomes, it's almost like waves, you know, it's like a recording of whoosh.
And yeah, definitely.
It takes a minute to realize, oh, that's the drum. That's the drum really, really slowed down. Well, I want to hear a little bit of your arrangement of Blondie's Heart of Glass. This is Telegenic X and his time-stretched version of this old Blondie hit.
Thank you.
That is music from Telegenic X, a.k.a. Gavin Morrow, who's on the line with us from England. His time-stretched version of Blondie's hit Heart of Glass. Tamara Palmer has written about this phenomenon of time-stretched versions of popular songs and is with us here in the Soundcheck studio. Gavin, it's become a bit of a meme, especially on YouTube. And one of the interesting things about your time-stretched versions is you tend to go with videos so that there's a visual analog to what we're hearing as well. Is that intentional?
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, because the tracks are going up on YouTube, so I wanted a visual element to accompany them. It sort of adds another job sort of thing because I'm using one piece of software to, you know, time stretch the tracks and then video editing software to stretch the videos as well. So it's marrying up the two that sort of makes the process a little bit more complicated than it could be.
Yeah, because Tamara, some of the other things that you've written about are, you know, it's just like a still photo or something or a picture of the album cover that accompanies the stretched version.
That's right. But one thing I discovered in my research is that the 9-beat stretch Beethoven project was inspired by a filmic work called 24-Hour Psycho. So somebody took the Psycho film and just stretched it out. The music and the dialogue is just, it's incidental, but it influenced the sound designer to do the Beethoven. Mm-hmm. So there's a little, you know, intertwining in what Telegenic X is doing is marrying the two. And I think that's why he has a shot of really bringing this out to the next level.
All right, now let me ask you the same question I asked him, which is where would you want to see this go next? I mean, you know, is this a once you've heard one, you've heard them all kind of thing?
I think this could be an exciting realm for live performance. You know, I could see a 30-minute presentation of Heart of Glass in a theater setting, you know, where you can really stretch out and maybe have headphones and listen to it.
Well, there you go, Gavin. That's your next job, is to rent out a theater. And Gavin Morrow is Telegenic X, the English producer whose videos you can see on the Soundcheck page, soundcheck.org. We're also speaking with Tamara Palmer, the journalist and author of Country Fried Soul, Adventures in Dirty South Hip Hop. And Gavin, what's your favorite time-stretched song?
Of mine,
yeah.
I really like David Bowie's Heroes. I think that works really well for me, anyway.
I was hoping you would say that. It works well for me, too, and we're going to wrap up the segment with it. Gavin, thank you very much for being with us on the line today.
Hey, no problem. Thank you for having me.
And Tamara, good to have you here with us in the studio.
Thank you.
This is Soundcheck, and this is David Bowie's Heroes, Time Stretched.
And now, Soundcheck looks back at the pop charts of yesteryear and asks,
that was a hit?
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
They're coming to take me away, haha.
And joining us with this week's edition of That Was a Hit is music writer and pop chart columnist Chris Malanfi. Chris, good to have you back on the program.
Thank you, John. It's great to be here.
All right. Now, we're several iterations into this series. So what do you have that could possibly blow our minds?
All right. Let me start it this way. So Prince is a rock legend, right?
Prince.
You know, one of the two or three biggest artists of the 1980s, a legend for multiple decades. And he has 5 number one hits to his name. If I asked you to name them, how many could you get?
Doves Cry.
That's one. Yep.
Let's Go Crazy.
Very good. That's 2.
Kiss.
3. Very good. The other two are a little tougher.
Party Like It's 1999.
Nope.
No.
No.
Little Red Corvette.
Nope.
Purple Rain.
No. That peaked at number 2.
Then I'm stumped.
The last two, I'll jump to the fifth one first. The fifth one is Cream, which was his only number one hit of the 1990s.
I would never have gotten that.
Right, that's a tough one. The toughest of all, the most random of all, the one I brought to you today is Bat Dance, which went to number one in the summer of 1989. It is one of only two platinum singles that Prince has ever released, the other being When Doves Cry. It was a mega hit, and it is so strange. It is, in its full-length version, nearly 7 minutes long. There was a radio edit. And it's basically a pastiche of dialogue from the movie.
The movie Batman.
The movie Batman, directed by Tim Burton, the global blockbuster of 1989. And it was a late addition to the soundtrack that Prince agreed to record for the Batman movie. And, you know, I tell you what, one reason why it's appropriate to bring this in today, the number one single on the Billboard Hot 100 right now, as we know, I think you've discussed it on the show the last couple of weeks, is Harlem Shake. And
right.
It's a hit in large part because of this kind of viral meme that's gone around on YouTube.
People
right?
dancing to the song, right?
Exactly. And the thing that many people have noted is that it's not much of a song. It's you know, it's Con Los Terroristas and a beat, and that's about
it. And then do the Harlem Shake.
Right. If you could imagine something just as weird as that, but kind of the polar opposite in the sense that it's overstuffed with stuff. It's not really a song exactly, but it's just kind of a mélange. That's Bat Dance. And if you've never heard it, it'll kind of blow your mind.
I don't know if I haven't. I can't wait to hear this. Apparently, a number one hit for Prince called Bat Dance.
Go, go, go with a smile.
Keep busting.
Chris Melanfi, I am impressed. Not so much a song as a mashup, it seems.
Effectively, in 1989, before we even knew what a mashup was.
That is Prince with Bat Dance, and yes, that was a hit. Number one song.
As far as I can tell, and you heard some of it in that little clip we just heard, it's, like I said, a pastiche of clips of dialogue from the Tim Burton movie. You hear a lot of Jack Nicholson. You hear a lot of Michael Keaton. You hear a little bit of the Vicki Vale character played by, who was that, Kim Basinger, I think? Then occasionally Prince pops up. I just played the song back for myself a couple of times the last day. As best as I can tell, the only thing Prince says in the whole song, he says, keep bustin' at one point. And then he just goes right back to the beat and the dialogue. He says, ooh, yeah, I want to bust that body. He quotes a line from a different song from the Prince soundtrack album called If a Man is Considered Guilty for What Goes On in His Mind, Then Give Me the Electric Chair for All My Future Crimes. Not sure what that means.
Great title, though.
And then he eventually just starts yelling, don't stop dancing. It's kind of manic. I honestly don't know how anyone would dance to this. And I'm a massive Prince fan. And I like the record almost in spite of itself. But it's not a terribly danceable record.
Yeah. And it seems to be, I mean, it just kind of some jarring cuts and transitions.
Yes. The other thing you heard in that clip is there's a, you know, you heard a what I would call a minor tempo shift. There's a major one, like a gear shift that happens in the middle of the record, and maybe we'll play it, where I would compare it to what happens toward the beginning of Franz Ferdinand's Take Me Out, where it goes from like, you know, a straight rock song to almost a disco rock song. Mm-hmm. It's like that, but even more jarring.
Bruce Wayne.
Right. First of all, I'm going to assume that the samples or the allusions to the original Batman theme were all cleared.
They were, but not without cost to Prince. What's curious about this project is for Warner Brothers Records, his then label, and as we all know with 2020 hindsight, he had great problems with his label. He eventually broke with them in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. He started tattooing Slave on his cheek to get out of his contract. He really had to kowtow to the powers that be to even do this album. He wanted to do it pretty badly. He signed away all the publishing. You won't find Bat Dance on any Prince compilation I've ever run across.
Well, that's what I was going to add. I mean, it's striking enough that this was a hit.
That's right.
But then it's like the hit that disappeared.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, Prince has played some songs from the Batman soundtrack live, so it's not as if the entire Batman soundtrack has been wiped from his history. But he's very cagey about it. I'm not sure he plays Bat Dance. I'm not sure how you would play Bat Dance live. And one note...
Two turntables and a microphone.
I guess, yeah. One thing that fans note is that when he prints T-shirts that include his entire career, where the Batman soundtrack should go, he includes the name of Scandalous, which was a ballad from that album. He barely even mentions that he did Batman. Yet he wanted to do it. If you look at the video, which, by the way, is another thing you should do if you want to, you know, weird yourself out. Prince, apparently what Prince cottoned onto in the Batman story was the idea that Batman was at one with his villain, the Joker, and that we all have a little bit of Joker and Batman inside us, or at least Prince does. And he's literally got half his face made up as the Joker and half his face made up as Batman, and he's got a wing on one arm and a Joker outfit on the other half of his body. It's kind of insane, but it's that whole Prince dichotomy theme that he's always coming back to, the good and the bad, the good and the evil.
All right, so Chris Malanfi suggests that you not only remember that this was a hit, but that you check out the video, and to facilitate that, we have said video on our website at soundcheck.org. Chris Malanfi is a contributor to NPR Music and pop chart columnist, and joining us for this week's edition of That Was a Hit. In the case of Prince's Bat Dance, the song did reach number one, Chris, despite what is a super creepy ending.
Indeed. Yeah, well, it'll give you nightmares.
Thank you very much for that. Good to have you back with us on Soundcheck.
My pleasure, John. Thank you.
Whoever heard.
That's going to do it for Soundcheck today. Tomorrow, it'll be a very British day here in the studio. Join us online at 2 p.m. for a performance from Wall, a singer-songwriter and producer on the new label started by the people behind the music videos known as the Black Cab Sessions. Wall will perform live in our studios. Listen tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern, on soundcheck.org. And, on the air at 9 p.m., a visit from the British quintet Veronica Falls. They'll play songs from their album, Waiting for Something to Happen. See you back here tomorrow night at 9. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.